Jesus the Savior. That's the theme for tonight. Jesus the Savior, and with the help of God, four thoughts. In the first place, a needed Savior. Don't we need him? What do we need him for? That's important. We don't appreciate him if we don't know what he came for, what the need is, a needed Savior. Secondly, the only Savior. There's no one. Wherever you go and look, there is none like him. There is only one Savior, the unique Savior, the only Savior. That's the second thought. In the third place, a complete Savior. He can do it. He can save people. People have fell so deep, he can do all things for them and save them. Anyhow, a complete Savior in the most difficult and impossible situations, he is yet a competent, a complete Savior. And in the fourth place, a received Savior. Receive. There is a Savior. He's the only Savior. He's a complete Savior, but is he our Savior? Did we receive him? Jesus the Savior, needed Savior, only Savior, complete Savior, received Savior. Congregation and friends, what's your biggest problem? If we'd ask you, what is your biggest problem in life? What would you say? We say, I don't know. I'm sometimes so depressed and just, what's life about? I'm sometimes down. My education doesn't go the way I thought it would be. There's no career for me. I had visualized life so different. I'm suffering because of problems, always problems. Like what? I feel lonely. My marriage is not the best. Children. I would like to have more children. I am sometimes tired of the children. My work, my finances, my help. You know, the past abuse, the big mistakes I made. Is that your biggest problem? I remember visiting a young family. They just had a baby. And the baby was handicapped again. And I visited the parents, and the mom was still in bed, and the baby, the handicapped baby next to her, and she indicated what the biggest problem was. And she said, it's not my baby. I'm unconverted. I'm not saved. I need a Savior. I need the forgiveness of my sins. That was her biggest problem with that baby next to her, with a blood disease. Again, who would probably only live for a couple years. Is that also your problem? Do you say, minister, I miss God. I miss the Lord. I'm just a missing person. Nothing can make me happy. I miss the Lord. Or do you say, minister, I feel something of the displeasure and the anger of God about me. I can't please the Lord. I've done everything wrong and he's frowning on me. I feel a distance and I don't dare to say that my sins are forgiven and I have questions about the Savior, if he would save me. And I'm craving God's favor, but I cannot even pray. And sometimes the Bible speaks to my heart, but it's only for a moment and it's gone again. And I'm just at a loss. I don't know where to turn or what to do. You know, Christ has come. Not in the first place to help you in your problems. In the general problems, but he came especially to save people from their sins. So many need Jesus and God, except for their sins. They don't see the real problem, the root of our problems. As I said, in order to appreciate Christ, we need to know what he saves from. So let me show that to you. Lamentations 3:39. Therefore, does a living man complain? What are you complaining about? Wherefore does the living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins? That's the real problem. The sin problem. And what did the angel say to Joseph? And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For, and then the explanation follows, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, that's what Jesus means. That's the shortest explanation. Jesus is the name of the Savior, and that name, two syllables in Greek, Jesus, means Jehovah saves, Jehovah delivers, Jehovah rescues, Jehovah frees. All those translations are good. To free people from their sins, because they're so attached to their sins, so under the power of sin, so much under the guilt of sin. Do you know something of Jesus? How can you know him? I don't know. What is that, to know Jesus? Because he's in heaven. You cannot meet him personally. That's right. But you could meet him tonight in church. But you hear about his name, the explanation of his name. He will save his people from their sins, if that becomes clear. Maybe tonight you see for the first time or again who Jesus is, what he came for, to save people from their sins and to enjoy that and to believe in that. That's believing. Also, the Apostle Peter spoke about that to the Sanhedrin. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Romans 4, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That's the problem. Are your sins covered? Are our sins forgiven? Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's the greatest gift there is, to have forgiveness of sins, that the sins are blotted out. Sin, we easily underestimate it. Sin is often painted in beautiful colors. So it's time to peel all the colors off tonight. Show what the real sin is. Sin in its origin. Sin is origin. It's from the devil. Right? The devil started that. Before Adam and Eve, Satan is the origin of sin. Sin is his firstborn. He was the first one tempting others to sin. Sin, you think of sin? The origin is this ugly. Sin is compared in the Bible to a menstruous cloth. That's quite an expression. A plague sore. Isaiah 30. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast it away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Away with it as soon as possible. It's what sin is. Sin is a plague, a sore of the plague. You know what the plague is? That's quite a disease, right? And those sores, those sin is. What prayer and supplications soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. The sin is the plague that is bothering in their own heart. And sin is also grieving God. It's really grieving God. Can God be grieved? He's God. He has no feelings. He's God. No, he has his feelings. God's rejoicing. And this sadness and this anger is also grief. So we need a savior for that. Not a helper. Not a friend to talk to. Not a counselor to receive some advice from. Not a comforter. We need someone who can take my sins away. And all those things have a place after we become a child of God. Of course. The Lord also wants to be a friend and a counselor and a helper and a comforter. But in the first place, we need to have our sins forgiven. And that's why he's called Jesus. Saving the people from their sins. So sin is origin. Sin is grieving. Sin is rebellion. Sin is not just a mistake. Sin is rebellion. It's to break with God, to rebel, to revolt. That's what sin is. That we are rebels. And there is that major ingratitude. A sin is. It's very unkind when people are doing good to you and are friendly to you and you pay them back with rudeness. That's so unkind, so ungrateful. And that's what sin is. We are very ungrateful people. It's a disease, a sore disease. Isaiah 1. From the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. It's our sins. Our sins are bad. And sin is irrational. And sin is painful. And sin is the only thing God is against. There's only one thing God hates. Only one thing, that's sin. You know, in my backyard, a few years ago, I planted a bamboo plant. I'd like to get rid of it, but that's hard. You dig it up, and you dig it up, and it comes back all the time. What sin is. The sin, those roots are going so deep, are so aggressive, so invasive, you can not pull them out. You cannot undo them. So we need a sin deliverer. We need a sin savior. We need a sin ruiner. We need Jesus. The Jewish name for the Lord saves. We need to be saved from sin, from doing sin, from the addiction of sin, the power of sin, the guilt of sin, the wrath of sin, the consequence of sin. It's all about sin. So are we looking for Jesus to be saved from our sins? Pray. That your eyes may be opened and you may see the problem. If you don't see the problem, what are you talking about? That you don't get it. Then the whole Bible doesn't make much sense, that the Lord Jesus is not needed. But you need him. You really need him. Think of Noah. Noah saw the flood coming. There was only one ark. And he fled into the ark because that was the only resolution, the only solution, the ark. And so there's only one Savior. And we need a Savior because of the flood, because otherwise we perish, otherwise we are going to hell. So we really need him. It's not a joke. It's not something trivial. It's very serious. And if not justified, meaning forgiven, then you're not glorified. Not glorified means not reconciled, means to be a child of wrath and under the curse. A needed Savior. Let us go to the second thought, the only Savior. I read in Acts 4, neither is there salvation, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. It's so unique. There's only one Savior. Wherever you look over the whole world, in the past, there's only one Savior. Nobody qualifies to be called Savior. He's the only one, Jesus. Like there was only one ark. So there's one way. One name. And we need from him the pardon of all our sins. Acts 2, verse 10. Acts 10, verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Believing in him gives remission of sins. That believing in the only Savior, you need to find the only one. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. You need him, no matter what. And that's not only the teaching we need to hear, it's also the experience we need. We need to really, really believe that with all our heart, that there is only one Savior, that he really qualifies and nobody else. So we should have no hope to find anything good in others at all. He shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins, meaning he will. That sounds like an unconditional promise, not? Lord says, I will save my people from their sins. Not if they believe. I make them believe. I will give them their faith. The Savior is not only making salvation possible, he also applies it and gives faith with it. He is doing all things. And if you go a different direction, then it might sound like as if you are still preaching and talking about the Savior, but deep down it's a different Savior. Do such then believe in Jesus? Kind of critical, no? Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who see the salvation and welfare of saints? Mary, Peter, or whoever, neither can find salvation in any other, no, or anywhere else. They do not, for though they boast of him in words boasting, having the mouth full of Jesus, and not realizing who he is, not finding the only Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that's also in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. For if he that comes preacheth another Jesus, another Jesus? That's possible. You can preach a Jesus who is not the Jesus of the Bible. Happens a lot. Whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel. Another gospel? There's only one gospel, yes, but people may fabricate their own gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. So we need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the only Savior with nobody's help. He shall save unconditionally. You know, although we are Covenant people, we are. Sanctified, in a sense. Privileged, blessed, set apart, separated, sanctified. Yet, by nature, we are also children of wrath. Under the curse at the same time. Be loved by the Lord, and the Lord is patient and is good and is waiting. At the same time, under the wrath. Under God's frown, living on this earth. So, we need to be relieved from that. We need a Savior, Jesus Christ, to take the wrath away. And he is the only one who can do that. He can change our state of being not saved to being saved. That's quite a thing. Changing the state. You know, some people underestimate what salvation is. Salvation for them is becoming aware of the fact that God loves you already. Finding out, oh, God loves me. Hey, God loves you. So if you come to the conclusion, if you agree with me, that's salvation. It's not. Salvation is not coming to the conclusion that God loves me. Salvation is coming to the conclusion that I'm under the wrath of God and I'm unconverted. And I need to be saved from that wrath, something that begins to really bother me. The Lord Jesus came not only to enlighten the understanding and to make people aware of the fact that they are saved already. No. He does not try to save people either. He does not help to save people. He will save his people. And his people are who? The believers? No. Well, they will believe eventually. But he is saving a people that is not believing yet. Those are his elect. And he will save them, no matter what. Even if they don't believe, and they won't believe, do they? Nobody believes by his own strength and power and will. But the Lord Jesus, he makes people to believe. He came to save unbelievers, to make them believers. So don't think that the Lord is dependent upon our faith. Faith is necessary, also a gift, a precious gift, a responsibility. Repent ye, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, but also a gift. He will save his people from their sins. He's the only one who was able to do that, because he is the only one who absorbed the wrath of God against him. Nobody else did that. He's the only one who is and God and man. Could you find another one? There's no other one. He's God, and then he's a human nature and divine nature, both. That's exactly what you need, and there's only one like that. Oh, he's the only one absolutely innocent. There's no second on the whole world. He knew no sin. He's the only one crucified for that reason, without sin. He's the only one. You really need to find him. Don't be happy without him. Don't think you're safe without him. You really need to find him, to believe in him, to take refuge unto him. He's the only one. And that means that we need to be convinced of that. And that's a hard thing. Because we are so prone to seek on and on and on, here and there, except in him. I like to save myself. I like to be saved by others. like to be saved by other means. Somehow I don't like to be saved for free by Jesus. I have a hard time with that. All people have a hard time with that. I like to be saved with doing something. I like to be saved with qualifying somehow. For free, that's hard. You remember that example, right, of the Dutch scavenging town, or the Hague, where a fisherman came with his car with herring and set a sign on the herring car for free. Free herring. Nobody wanted it. They all looked and thought, not for me. And then he put a different sign there. 2 guilders or 2 euro a fish, and he was sold out in no time. And that's also with grace. If you could pay for it, if you could help the Lord, if you could do something right away, you would be saved. But having nothing, and having empty hands, and then with nothing coming, that's a shame. That's so humbling. But that's what believing is. To really be humble and say, Lord, I have nothing. And thou art the only one that can help me. I can't find any other name among men by whom we must be saved. So why would we go somewhere else? Why are we so foolish? He has promised to save his people. But that same Jesus is preached to all of us. He will save his people. He will save his elect. That's no doubt about that. But the same Savior is preached unto all people as if he said, I'm the only one. So why seeking on? Why not taking refuge unto me? He's the only one experiencing the hellish agonies. The only unique Savior. And nobody can be praised for being a Savior but him. We did not do anything ourselves. But he works faith. He causes to repent. I love the gospel. You know, I had a time in my life when I was young. A sermon was bad and absolutely not good. I was very disappointed about that sermon. If the sermon would not have a big offer of grace to all people. I was listening for that. The offer of grace for unconverted people. And I can see the point yet. But I have to admit, somewhat later, I began to feel kind of, I can't believe. And I began to appreciate also something else, another message. The Lord will save his people from their sins. I'm found of them that sought me not. So free that even if I could not believe, the Lord could yet save me and give me faith. So he is a needed Savior. He is the only Savior. He is a complete Savior. Third thought, complete Savior. Some overlap, right? Complete Savior. The only one, but he can really do it. If he would not be a complete Savior, then he wouldn't be a Savior. If anything would depend upon us, it would be lost. If just very little bit would be needed from my side, it was a hopeless case. If he would do 99.9%, and I only the rest, it would be lost. He's a complete Savior. He does it all himself for free. So, therefore, you don't have to go far. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness dwell, stay forever, constantly, all the fullness in him. In him only, but also there's enough in him. For it pleased the Father, in whom are hid all the treasures, are hid in him, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God. He really qualifies. He is a complete Savior. He can really do it. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, one grace after the other, and grace for grace. But the fullness, you cannot empty that fullness. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He fills his people, all of them, completely. Complete in a sense that he can do it all by himself and does not need any help. You know, when you build a house, you need what? A framer and some for the foundation and a painter and a plumber and a heater and a roofer and so many people. Only very few can do all those things, right? Because you need also to be qualified to sign off on the electrical system, etc. So you need more than one person. You need help. You need a team of people to build a house. Not here. Lord Jesus is doing it all himself. To save a person, he's doing it all. He begins, he continues, he perfects, he prays, he encourages, he comforts, he sanctifies, he justifies, he glorifies. It's all from him. So he's a complete Savior. He's the only one, but also complete. And there's splendid redemption in him. You know what the canons of Dort say about it, right? About his sacrifice? That the sacrifice is abundantly sufficient for the expiation of the sins of the whole world. It's satisfactory. There's such an ocean of salvation. There is salvation not only for a few, for the whole entire world. Jesus, by dying, he took the curse upon himself. He carried the wrath away. Lord's Day 15, he bore the sins of the wrath of the sin against mankind. What a sweet name, Jesus. You like it? Because the Lord reveals something in that name to you. Do you like the name? Or not? Do you say, I love that name? I like to just write it down in big letters. Jesus, that's such a revealing name. He reveals himself in it. I love that name. Do you? He lets us know in the Bible, in his name, who he is. Reveals himself in a sense. So don't seek another one. He can do it. He can save you completely. Even if you fell so deep, he is a qualified Savior, and he gives also the application with it. He will save his people from their sins. And maybe you say, I think of myself, I also think of my children. I think of my husband. I think of my wife. You know, I've said so often that they have to believe in the Savior, and they just don't see the point. They don't see the need of it. They're so cold-hearted, so blind. I try to push it hard. You have to believe, but there's help. I can see that, but he can. Pray the Lord. He can. He can change unbelievers and bring them to their senses and show them their sins and draw them unto him and give that faith. That's also part of the covenant, right? The covenant is not only that the Lord is willing to save and offer salvation, but he will save his people from their sins. He will do so. That's a comfort. Also for them whose children are going off the deep end and say, he will never come back. You may lay it in the hands of the Lord and say, Lord, Jesus means he shall save his people from their sins. The Lord can still do it and is continuing in saving people. They need a Savior, an only Savior, a complete Savior, a received Savior. Forethought. In the last part of answer 30, it's kind of a dilemma. It's either or. Right? For one of these two things must be true. They can be true at the same time. One is true, the other one is false. Either Jesus is not a complete Savior, not complete, or that they who by true faith receive the Savior, must find all things in him necessary to set to their salvation. And of course, the last one is true. Who by a true faith, not by a fake faith, not by a brain faith, not by a human faith, but a true faith, the faith that relies completely on him, has nothing yourself, takes all your piousness away, makes you kind of an ungodly one, with no money to pay. True faith. Not a true faith in the sense that you pay with the true faith, that you have to qualify with that faith. You don't. Even not with faith. But it needs to be true. By true faith, receive the Savior. Receive the Savior. What is that, receiving the Savior? Well, some say, the one gets it, the other one doesn't get it. The one receives it, the other one not. In God's freedom. The Lord gives it to them he wants them. And you receive it or you don't. That's not what's meant here. There's also another receiving. Something is offered. And some say yes and receive it, and other ones decline. That's the word here. So have you received it? Have you accepted it? Have you been open to it? Or have you declined? That's the word here. Who by true faith accept that Savior. Because he was offered, they must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. And they do. They find all things in him. John 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's something. The Lord Jesus privileging the people of Israel as his chosen people. They still are, by the way. And then sending the Savior, especially to them, preaching them that he is welcoming all of them, and then declining and rejecting him and just looking the other way and having no use for him and despising him even. And that's what we do by nature. We despise the Savior, not receiving him. But as many as received him, that's verse 12 in John 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To become, not that they are already, they become the sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name. So you're not a child of God until you believe in him. If you have that true faith in him, They receive the power to become the sons of God. Don't reverse that. Don't say, I'm a child of God by birth. A child of God by nature, by the covenant, and that's fine. I only have to believe that I'm fine, that I am a covenant child. No. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. So we need to have that acceptance of the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's important. You cannot afford making a mistake here. Only this way God is glorified. Thomas Watson, you may want to read his books. They are very sound, very biblical, and easy to read. He says, labor for the high privilege of justification. Labor for the high privilege of justification. He offers himself and all his merits to us. He invites us to come to him, he writes. But yet, people are starving in the midst of plenty. There's so much food and drink, and people starving. The whole house is filled with food, and people don't eat, they starve. I'm so hungry, and the whole house is filled with food. That's our foolishness. So much plenteous redemption. And not receiving it, not eating it. That's our fall. There is forgiveness with him, isn't there? So why perish when there's a remedy to save you? Why do people need to perish? There is a Savior. He's the only one. He's preached unto us. He's revealed unto us in his name, for example. And there's competence. He's a complete Savior, and they're not believing in him. So we prefer prison over freedom. We like being shackled instead of walking free. Do we bid the prince? Watson says, do we bid the prince to keep the pardon to himself? I don't need forgiveness. I don't need forgiveness. Sorry, I can do it without. Is that you? Do we forego the peace and the sweetness in affliction? You know, Christ is the only antidote against death. And you don't need it. You must receive it. You must want it. You must trust it. God's children need to be humble. Remain humble. Because there are many, many defects. There remain many defects, and yet no reason to despond. That forgiveness is still needed, even after so many years. And even every day. Every day, forgiveness is needed. Every day God's people pray, give us this day our daily bread. And every day they say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or don't they have to pray it anymore? It's over. It's over. Some people say, you don't have to pray it anymore. You're saved. You're saved, you're a covenant child, you're saved, so don't pray for forgiveness. You have been forgiven already. No, we constantly pray for that again, because we fall into sins again. And yet, that forgiveness stays. Even although God's people are unfaithful and keep sinning, the Lord is faithful to his own work. And that believing is not qualifying. But we have to explain what believing is, right? We do not need a perfect faith. but a true faith. Not only sincere, because we can be sincerely wrong. You may mean well and yet be confused. You need true faith. A true faith is when the Lord empties you of all self-righteousness. That's a must. That's a mark. Not that you say, I want to see that myself first, if I have been emptied enough, and then I will give myself a mark, and then I feel free to come to Jesus. No, that's not what I mean. Nobody qualifies. But yet afterwards, you check yourself, what happened now in my life? And you see it. I had nothing left. I was emptied of all self-righteousness. And the Lord Jesus revealed himself in his name in different ways and revealed himself, and I could not help but believing in him and trusting in him and relying on him entirely as the complete Savior, as the only Savior. Yes, he is the Savior every day. Not once, but our daily sins should drive us. There is now, no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Is now, today, forgiveness. Even if it is not alive every day, it is kept up by the Lord. The Lord is faithful. He's a complete Savior and wants to receive like that. So we have no excuse of being unconverted, do we? Maybe you think it's normal. Actually, it is not. Nobody has sinned too much. He's a Savior. Nobody's sins are too gross. You say, oh, what I did? If you would know, Pastor, I don't care. I don't mind. Whatever it is, the most heinous sin, it's not too much, not too gross, not too much. Nobody is beyond hope. Nobody is too far away. Nobody is too hard. Nobody is too cold. Nobody is too unworthy. Nobody is too worldly. He is the covenant Jehovah. And the Lord Jesus' name is such a precious name. He saves his people from their sins. He has other sheep, not from this fault. He must bring them in. You should read for yourself. You can probably find it somehow from the Westminster Confession. Not the Westminster Catechism, the shorter or the longer one, not the Catechism, but the Confession, the Westminster Confession. Just, you can look it up. Chapter 7, Article 3, about the covenant, about this subject. The Lord Jesus is offered to all people that hear the gospel with the condition of faith, requiring of them faith in the Savior in order to be saved. You need faith in order to be saved. And the Lord promises. He promises salvation if you believe in him. And then in the second part it says, and the Lord promises to give faith to them he has chosen. And he will work that faith. So salvation is offered on the condition of faith. Salvation offered on the condition of faith. And faith given unconditionally to the elect. Those things belong to one another. Keep it together. Found of them that sought me not. That's the practice of all God's people, they say. I wasn't first. I didn't seek. He made me seek. And therefore, all the glory is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the only Savior. He is the only one receiving the glory. And God's Spirit take the crown off of their heads and say, Lord, thou art worthy to receive all the honor and the glory, not me. What will heaven be like? Giving God the glory and having no doubts and no low estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ and highly esteeming him an eternity long, and to glorify in that only name given among men, because he started, he began, he continued, he finished, it's all the work. Do you love him? Or are you still denying him, still looking the other way, still despising such a Savior? Shame on us. Bow your knees and say, Lord, I heard a sermon again about Jesus, and I don't need him. Be honest about that, if that's the case. Just tell the Lord, I don't need him. Lord, I'm so sinful. I'm such a fool. I don't know what to do. The world is so strong. And plead on that. I will save my people from their sins. I will save them from the world. I will save them from the power of sin. And plead on that. The Lord is continually saving people for his own name's sake and glory. Why is the Son of God called Jesus? Do you know now? That is Savior. Because he saveth us. Nobody else. He saveth us and delivers us from our sins. He makes us loose from the power of it. And likewise, we ought not to seek, we may not seek, neither can find salvation in any other. You can find it and you shouldn't. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek the salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Is that believing? That is not believing. They do not, see? Is that believing? That's not. For though they boast in words, Jesus, 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 yet in deeds they deny Jesus. They speak highly of him and deny him. He is the only deliverer and savior, for one of these two things must be true. They can be true both. Either Jesus is not a complete savior, but he is. Or that they who by a true faith receive the savior, do you belong to them? Receive him. Must find all things in him, all things necessary to their salvation. All the lack they have, they say, I miss this or I miss that, whatever it is, he has it. So what keeps you back from fleeing unto Jesus? I know what it is. Our unwillingness. It's our hardness, our worldliness. But you know, yeah, the Lord can overcome that. The Lord is the God who saves his people from their sins anyway. He continues for the glory of his name. Amen.